agree with personally. But I feel like here, like I feel like with the soundtrack in DBZ, I don't know, I feel like the American soundtrack done by Bruce Falconer, I think is his name, is I feel like it just brings out the highs in this series much better than I will say than the original soundtrack, in my honest opinion. But yeah, but hopefully you'll sort of get a sense of that. It's a very techno based soundtrack, which
I've noticed that.
which you wouldn't really associate with Dragon Ball, but I feel like it actually works pretty well. And so the soundtrack I'm about to play is the Dragon theme, which of course plays when the Dragon Shenron is summoned, but also it actually plays during this very epic moment when Vegeta uses his final flash attack against Cell, and it's awesome. All right, so
I wonder what the connection between these two moments is. But anyway,
there's not much of a connection. It's just like they use the soundtrack. Yeah. So again, sort of very slow, sort of like building up, and I'm going to skip ahead a bit. And yeah, so with that soundtrack, I feel like you get like a very good sense of like the character sort of like charging their attack in the typical DBZ fashion, as Vegeta does in the scene I mentioned with his final flash. And it's just like this sort of like very slow, like but like epic buildup, which makes sense because like it takes a very long time for him to charge this attack in particular. But like when it finally hits, like it's just like it goes all out. It's like like when Vegeta actually fires his attack, it's a different soundtrack gets used, but it very much blends in with the dragon theme very well. And so, yeah, and then you get a sort of, yeah. So and you get to see how the techno just meshes very well with Dragon Ball Z, surprisingly. But yeah.
Well, then also like that sort of like the continuous sort of like eerie noise in the background, like it makes you know something is coming.
Something is coming.
It is a giant beam that will pierce the clouds. But I've seen a lot of good things. I didn't know there were two different soundtracks, so that's interesting. But I will definitely keep that in mind and try to listen to it on my own, and then maybe actually listen to it when I finally get around to watching DBC. All right. Enough shaming of myself. All right, so I am going to get on to my number 6, which I'm not going to take too much time on because we actually did go over it in Ben's number 8. It was, or I think it was your number 7, wasn't it? If I'm not mistaken.
It was my number 8.
Cowboy Bebop. So, Cowboy Bebop, I have kind of given a lot of my commentary when Ben uses entry, but it is this high on my list because I think what make Watanabe's animes so special, and I guess I kind of feel a bit a bit jaded in an unjustified way when saying this, because I haven't watched any other Watanabe production besides Bebop, but from what I know contextually, Watanabe does focus a lot on the kind of feeling that his anime gives, as opposed to the plot and the progression and the appeal of the actual like narrative elements of it, which again are important, but I think it's much more what you feel and what you assume according to the way scenes are made, the way scenes are paced, the way scenes are kind of meshed with soundtracks. And I think Bebop does that so well, especially, you know, because these are a band of rogues that we're following in the story, and you know they're scampering around, and like just as I said, you know, jazz is so versatile in terms of its pace, and that's really what happens. Like these guys are just chilling in space and suddenly they're in some kind of crazy chase scene, you know what I'm saying? And that's it lends itself very, very well to the jazziness of it. And it's just so stylish as well, which really reflects a lot of, you know, the kind of badass character that is Spike, and just how he, like, you know, he's just vibing to this jazz music, and he seems like he's dancing to it at the same time as he's like kicking someone's face or something like that, you know.
yeah.
Uh-huh. Bebop is a great soundtrack, that's for sure.
All right.
I mean
when Spike fights, it is almost kind of like a dance, you know. It's like he's dancing to the jazz in it, he's like flowing to it in a sense.
Yeah, he like his feet move so fast when you watch the animation.
Yeah,
carefully, like it looks like he's like tap dancing or something.
Yeah.
All right, Ben, no, number five.
All right. So number five is the Death Note soundtrack. So this is very similar to the Code Geass soundtrack, in the sense that it's a very dramatic soundtrack, which just goes to show, like, you know, the badassery of like Light and the other characters. And it's this very just dramatic soundtrack that goes very well with, like, you know, the sort of tone of the series of being this, like, sort of like non-battle anime in a sense, where like it's like the characters are engaged in like these battles, but not, you know, actually physical ones, obviously. But
one of the greatest Eyepatch Wolf videos in ever, by the way.
Yeah. All right. But yeah, so my sample track is Low of Solipsism, which sort of plays when Light, the protagonist, is just going all out with like writing people's names into Death Note, which, you know, causes people to die. Hence the name. But
Eating potato chips.
And eating potato chips.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's one of the this is a very crazy album in terms of how it's like God descending on you. Damn.
Dear Reese's, I hope this letter finds you in my
double
stomach.
Ad.
Love. Double ad. No.
Why be happy
so
when
grim.
You can be sad?
All right.
Depression Stick. Learn more at depressionstick.com.
Yeah, building up.
In that moment, people are like flies.
So yeah, very dramatic indeed, but it does very much like match for sure of what White is doing. He's just, you know, he's just killing all these people, and, you know, by extension, like remaking the world in his image, you know, as he eats his potato chips.
but did you see the comment of that guy? Like, this guy literally has gospel music playing in the background while he eats his snacks.
Basically, yeah. Yeah, he's all right. That should give a sense of like the very heavy dramatism of the Death Note soundtrack, and of Death Note in general as a series. But yeah.
Yeah. And so I mean, this series does appear higher on my list, I will say. The thing is that I think Death Note soundtrack is so interesting in the sense that it's very two-faced. Like, there are these really operatic, like almost like gospel or choir or like, you know, just doom style orchestral tracks that like really convey like this God complex that our main character is experiencing. But then there are almost like the down to earth, more like almost rocky vibey tracks that play as ambient music that really encapsulate a lot of the normalcy that is actually happening in between these absolutely absurd events that basically are instigated by Light and whoever is trying to track him down and kill him or incarcerate him, whatever you'd like. Yeah, it's a very, very good soundtrack. And I will probably be emphasizing more that other side of the soundtrack. Although I appreciate Low Solipsism and, like, you know, Kyrie and all those that are like really, really operatic and epic. I will probably be looking at the other face of the Death Note soundtrack when I list it. Exactly. All right, Ben, I feel like we're gonna have a lot of repeats here because I'm sure you probably have this one somewhere. But my number five spot you know, who knows, maybe. My number five spot is the Berserk OST from 1997. My God, there are, I think, 10 tracks that you can find in, like, the album coordination, but or assembly, but they're all so magical. And track number one immediately hits you with this very, very specific feeling. You probably all heard it, Baylet. Baylet is a very repetitive track, but my God, it's both wondrous. It makes you feel like you're staring into this vast abyss that is the world of Berserk at the same time. As it makes you aware that something is afoot, something sad and tragic and horrifying is like somewhere in this world, or at least completely throughout it. Let me just play it quickly. I think it is probably one of the most loopable tracks ever, and especially when you're reading Berserk, I will emphasize that. Gotta wait for the flute. Yeah, there it is. Yeah, so obviously that flute is very mysterious, but it is over anything else foreboding. And while you have like this almost like harp or like lute style instrument that is going on in the background, like it's just the perfect mix that encapsulates a lot of those like almost like dark but not completely terrifying moments in Berserk, where things are not great, but they're not good either. In fact, they're more bad than good, but for Berserk standards, they're okay. I don't know, like, I don't know, when like Guts is traveling, or like when he has like five arrows in his body, like, and he's chilling by a tree or something like that. Like, you know, it's just like, it shows you that Berserk really is never completely happy. It is just, this is, when I think of this song, and I know I've mentioned this before, but it's really hard to put into words. I'm gonna try one more time. It gives you an image of the landscape that is a setting of Berserk in kind of a tone style. This kind of like, you know, it's mysterious, it's medieval, it's elegant, but it's also terrifying and brutal and unforgiving, which I think is really great. That track is able to convey that. And a lot of the other tracks have all, you know, this is a very light track, but it still has some heavy elements like the lute or the harp in the background. And a lot of the other tracks from this soundtrack have very heavy elements as well that convey the tension of that moment. And again, like the Yu Yu Hakusho soundtrack, actually really own their time, in my opinion. Like Forces and Ghosts, amazing. And not to mention, obviously, the one that everybody knows, Guts theme.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah, so Berserk does show up on my list as well. But I will say, like, speaking to Baylet specifically, I find that, I mean, it does play, you know, a good amount of times, like, throughout the series, but I actually associate it the most personally with the Eclipse. So, like, basically, you know, the absolute worst of Berserk. And, well,
okay, so I will tell you the exact image that I see when I see this image, when I hear this. And I actually haven't watched the 1997 anime. I just included this because I feel like I have the right to, as someone who has thought about Berserk as much as possible. The general rule for me on this was that even if I had read the manga and I hadn't watched the anime, I wouldn't include the soundtrack. But for Berserk, it's not a complete adaptation. I still feel like, you know, it is perfect for the manga as well, actually, which is uncommon among anime soundtracks. But the image I get when I see this is 1997 Griffith, after, you know, post-torture Griffith, sitting in that kind of puddle, holding the Baylet in front of the setting sun. Like, you know that panel, right? The legendary panel
where, yeah,
he basically decides to use the Baylet. That's the image I get when I hear the Baylet. Yeah, which just makes sense.
Yeah, and I definitely, and because of that, like, because of, like, how it's, like, when it's played, because it is also played, you know, actually, you know, during the, like, when the Eclipse is happening, and, you know, when Griffith is doing, you know, his absolute worst atrocities on Guts and Casca. It does play during those moments. And I feel like I've seen that part of the anime, and I just, because of that, I personally associated the most with that moment. But yeah, in general, with Griffith as a character and just like who he is as a person, and just how, like, you know, he is this, you know, on the surface, this, like, you know, like physically, you know, this physically good looking, sort of like, you know, like elegant person, you know, on the surface, but like he is just, you know, this truly dark soul that will ultimately stop at nothing to, you know, to get what he wants out of the world and out of people. But yeah. And
the weirdest thing about what you tell me when you say that this plays during the actual eclipse itself, when all of these people are being butchered by apostles and even worse stuff is happening, is like, it's repetitive. It doesn't build up. It doesn't progress towards any major kind of climax in the music or in the pitch or in the volume or anything like that. It just keeps going. I don't know. I don't want to read too much into this. And this probably is reading too much into it. But I almost feel like saying, it's almost like, you know, this is just Guts or Griffith accepting that this is just something that he needs to do in order to get to his goal. Like, it is just another thing. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Also, have you seen Berserk Volume 41? It came out in Japan and it looks great.
Yeah, I've seen the cover, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't look exceptional by any means. Like, not like Volume 27 or anything like that where you have the Berserker armor. But it certainly is a Berserk cover. That's no doubt there. I wonder who drew it, actually. I'm pretty sure it was probably Nero, but yeah, who knows?
Yeah. All right. So, yeah. So getting right back into it, number 4 on my list is also Berserk. So, yeah, back-to-back Berserk.
Nice.
But, yeah. I won't spend too much time talking about the Berserk soundtrack as a whole because I think Quentin, like, encapsulated it pretty well, but
yeah, we both talked about it. I think like
we both talked about it.
How about you play the track that you had lined up? I don't know if you had a different one lined up or if it was
my sample track is, you know, of course the cliche Guts theme, although I was heavily considering doing Forces, but alas, I've chosen Guts's theme.
Also Ghost so, yeah. Is also amazing. Ghost is also like, my god, that weird synth bass. Ugh, it gives me a disgusting feeling.
Yeah, it sort of takes a bit to build up on you. But yeah, once the soundtrack is a little distracting, very much like this. It's slow, it's sort of like build up, and that's just, it's really contemplating, which you wouldn't immediately get. Like when it hits that like sort of like peak of the song, where like, you know, you do have the it's just like, oh man, it's just beautiful. It's just so reflective of the masterpiece that is Berserk, and this, you know, this story that is, you know, that is tragic and, you know, dark and horrible, but at the same time beautiful and, you know, captivating.
Well, okay, yeah. Like, I don't want to read too much into the images that immediately come into my mind, but when I hear this track, I actually think of more of, like, a sunset, almost, or a sunrise, sorry, whereas the Baylet track, like I mentioned, is more like a sunset. It's like, I don't know, and again, this is my personal opinion, but those are just, like, the encapsulations of what these two different tracks make me feel. Like, Guts theme, it's like, you know, you've just completed, like, a whole night of slaughtering people, then you're half dead looking at the sunrise. Like, you know, it's just, and another image that comes to mind is when Guts is just laying on the ground looking at the stars in the Golden Age arc, or at least at the beginning of the Golden Age arc, after he's fought those wolves, basically. It is both lonely and it also is so surprisingly gentle, as you said, for a character like Guts. I think that contrast is amazing. But it really comes into its own, ironically, after the portions that the anime covers. I think this goes perfectly with like Fantasia Guts or even late Millennium Falcon Guts, like his gentleness and his increased willingness to kind of open up a bit more, you know. I think that's really where we see that Guts, you know, is actually a very gentle person, or at least a very vulnerable person. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And I think it goes, and in general, I think it goes very well for like the more, you know, philosophical moments that Guts has, like, which are actually present in the Golden Age arc, which is what the 97 anime covers.
Yeah. Yeah.
But mm-hmm. yeah, where Guts is just sort of like, you know, thinking and like, just like, you know, like having this, like, these deeply existential moments where he's just like questioning, you know, like who he is as a person really, and like why he does and what he wants to get out of life really. But yeah, mm-hmm. it just goes amazingly with those moments, no doubt. But, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I mean, I hate to move on from this because it is really a magical soundtrack, but I will say that the kind of limited tracks do sort of detract a bit from the major experience, because it isn't adaptable to every single moment, although to very many, because these tracks are very they encapsulate a lot of what Berserk feels like, regardless of what scene it's in, because it really is always a bit tragic and not completely happy. But my number five spot is Gundam 00's soundtrack. So I love this composer so much. I have not watched Ghost in the Shell, but I have heard a few tracks from it, and they absolutely blow me away every single time. Kawai Kenji is a master of eeriness, this kind of eerie feeling, and he even is able to implement that into some of the tracks that he writes for action sequences, which aren't like in any way kind of built up. They're just continuous kind of like, you know, epic events. Like, you know, it's not like we're waiting for some kind of big reveal or big scare or something like that, as you would expect from eerie scenes in like Ghost in the Shell, for example. This is more just like, you know, it is a very good battle sequence, which I think is something, you know, obviously I don't really have time to show you any kind or to listen to any kind of the eerier tracks that he made for the Gundam 00 anime, but this is just to show that he's capable of very kind of like action-packed kind of I guess proud and like really bold compositions, just like someone like Sagisu is. And yeah, let's just get into it straight away, because my gosh, is he amazing. All right, 1 second. But yeah, so I had a Gundam phase, if any of you are wondering, when I still kind of watched anime a lot, and this was definitely the highlight, I would say. Yeah, I am pretty confident in saying that. Gundam 00 is an amazing series. Like, really. All right, hopefully everyone can sort of hear what it is here. There we go. Yeah, so I don't know if you heard it there, but for example, that violin that came in near to the end of the portion that I kind of recorded, that isn't a representation of that kind of weird kind of eeriness that sort of like, you know you're going towards something more than you are at the destination. Like, you know it's building up to something. But you also know that what is going on is serious, that there's a threat, and it really does encapsulate that threat. I think that's what Kawai Kenji really does well in this track and a lot of the other ones on the 00 kind of soundtrack, is that kind of like, you know that, you know, things are progressing, the plot is going forward, but you know there's always going to be something else that you're going to have to brace yourself for when someone dies, or you know, some cataclysmic event erases all the progress that all the cast has made. And you know, it's just like, I think it's like, you know, it's almost like doom within a battle. Like, you're fighting, you're succeeding, but you know something's at the end that will kind of take away your progress. I don't know, that's sort of my impression of it. And it probably does sound a bit like I'm, you know, making these things up and kind of BSing it as I go. But I mean, it's kind of hard to explain, but this soundtrack is very, very well-rounded, I will say, with a lot of incredible soundtracks of different paces and styles and tones that really complement all of the scenes that I think make 00 probably the best Gundam anime I've watched. I've watched a decent number. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's my
number. Yeah, man. I mean, my number Gundam is just like this, like this, just like this huge world that just like, I mean.
Okay, but it's not. It's not. That's the thing. It's even huger than you think because it's not one world. Every series is independent of the other. Like Gundam 00 does not take place in the same timeline as the original Gundam, nor does Gundam IBO Iron-Blooded Orphans, nor does Gundam X. Like they all are in different universes. And they're each very well developed, especially with like some kind of supplemental material like Ellen's light novels and some additional manga as well, which is really nice. Yeah, but the original, I will say, I've heard some incredible things about Gundam the Origin soundtrack. Gundam the Origin being the soundtrack that I don't know who composed it, but there were a few soundtracks I think created for the Gundam the Origin, which basically recaps the original anime in like a very well done, as of what I've heard, very well done CG adaptation of the original 1970s anime. And I think whatever came after running into the 80s. But this is what I've experienced with, and I have to say, I could not be happier with what Kawai Kenshi did with the soundtrack.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so number three on my list is Hunter x Hunter. All right, so yeah, so Hunter x Hunter is, I feel like the Hunter x Hunter soundtrack very much captures like the multifaceted nature of the series, you know, that which starts out as very, you know, cheerful and exciting, sort of like how you would expect, you know, your typical shonen to be. But, you know, of course, as we all know, as for those of us who have read / watched Hunter x Hunter, it does get, you know, darker as the series progresses, which, you know, hits its climax in the, I think in that Chimera Ant arc. But I'm actually focusing on the sample track I'm choosing is Legend of the Martial Artist, which is actually a very uplifting soundtrack from the Chimera Ant arc, which is later in the series. So yeah, all right.
Yeah, so just to mention, Hunter x Hunter will show up on my list as well, but there's so much to unpack, so I'm sure it won't be too repetitive.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean,
sorry, I think I lost the screen sharing for some reason.
Okay, here, let me try to see if I can give
you Slate works, or why you see the ads you do.
Oh,
or want to know how we protect against spam, or how real people make search better. Visit YouTube to learn more about how search works.
This advertisement on YouTube.
All right, yeah, so that is Legend of the Martial Artist, which is a very epic soundtrack that I think encapsulates, Netero, as well as the rest of like the sort of like, human, the human attack team, which it consists of Gon, the protagonist, and Killua, his friend, and their friends, as they sort of like invade the palace of the Chimera Antarchs, the Chimera Ants, who are the villains of the hello and welcome back to Manga Kaiwa Season 3 after a long, well, not too long, but after a decent hiatus, we've returned and we're back in better than ever.
Yes, you know, unlike a certain series, we take a few month-long hiatuses rather than a few year-long hiatuses, if you get what I'm saying.
Indeed.
Yeah, and I am so freaking excited to be back. Yeah, we had a little blunder again, you know, recording, and we had to restart and stuff like that. But, you know, why not getting us back used to how it works? You know, it's a little... ceremony that we have, I guess, on a weekly basis, and hopefully we'll be able to maintain it a bit this time. But you know, we all have our stuff going on in our lives, so forgive us if we take some time off. But as I was saying, the last recording attempt But genuinely, I am so happy to see in the ever fascinating analytics that we have on the place that we basically make and distribute these podcast episodes, namely Anchor, how many different people of different backgrounds and places in the world even just click on our stuff and maybe click out of it again. But in any case, that they're willing to click on it in the first place, I think it's just so fascinating and so awesome just to think that our voices are even heard for a few seconds, if not more, which is great, by some people like I've never met before on a continent I've never been in before. I think that's fantastic. Yeah.
Indeed, yeah.
So,
all right.
Today, we are doing a top 10. Ben, would you like to introduce the topic of our top 10, the traditional commencing of the season, the top 10?
Indeed, yeah. All right. So we'll be doing the top 10 anime soundtracks. So yeah. So we'll be looking at the music from our favorite collections of music from select anime. Mm-hmm. And this isn't objective, of course. This is solely based on our personal opinions and our personal connections to the music. And it should be exciting.
Yeah, I'm really excited as well. It took a bit of prepping, but I'm really excited to get this on the road because I think soundtracks are honestly, you know, as someone who reads primarily manga, soundtracks are the things that keep me connected to the anime I watched when I was primarily an anime watcher as opposed to a manga reader. Like, I will go back and listen to these soundtracks because they really, I think that is among the greatest advantages that anime has over manga, is the kind of paralleling of the visual and story elements with the music, which obviously you can't just put a soundtrack on while you're reading the manga of that series, right? Because it's not timed, it's not placed where it needs to be, etc. Although that might be a good idea, like a good business idea, like read manga but listen to the soundtrack. Here, I made it for you so that if you I'm ranting now. But yes, that is what Manga Kaio is, and we are back. Let us begin. All right. Would you like to start off with your number 10 spot?
Yes. All right. So number 10 on my list is the Yu Yu Hakusho soundtrack. So this is, of course, as is Yu Yu Hakusho, a very retro and, old style, I guess, old style, anime music soundtrack, I guess. But I honestly think it still holds up today. At least a lot of it does. As does Yu Yu Hakusho as a whole. So for my sample track, I'll be using Yusuke's power-up theme, which of course plays during his transformation into his demon form. All right.
Damn. Let's see it.
Yes.
I've heard so much about this moment in Yu Yu Hakusho. Let's hear the music.
Yes. It truly is an amazing moment, definitely. Yeah. All right, there it is. Yeah, starting off a bit slow, as a lot of these soundtracks do, but
that's
it definitely kicks in.
Owns its age, I have to say. Like,
so hopefully that gave you all a good sense of the track. I don't know if you could see Quinter.
Yeah, definitely. I could see. Yeah.
And just like, you know, it is very 90s, but it's like, you know, it owns the time period it's from, and it just really makes the most out of it. And I don't know if you could see Quinter, like on the YouTube video, one of the comments read, this is the 1990s Ultra Instinct theme, and yeah, basically, yeah.
Well, I guess, because Dragon Ball was already over at that point, even before all its transformations and stuff like that. All right.
Yeah.
So, would you like to tell us a bit about the track and in retrospect what you think of the soundtrack.
Yeah, all right. So so I think the soundtrack, again, like I said, it is very 90s, which of course is reflective of a series that came out during that time period. But I think the soundtrack does a really good job of encapsulating what embodies a Yu Yu Hakusho, a very classic shonen style series, but yeah, at the same time,
it's a Togashi series, so it's special.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes. Yes, and it's finished. Okay, I need to stop. Yeah. Sorry about that. That's stupid of me. But that sounded really good. I think I remember actually you talking about it when you were watching Yu Yu Hakusho and talking about how the anime opening, which I think had a similar vibe to it in some senses, it took a while for you to like warm up to it, basically. And I realized that that's how a lot of these anime are. And I think it's so funny how Hunter x Hunter's opening departure has like that same sort of almost retro vibe to it in terms of how it's made and how it sounds, but you get used to it and you love it at some point. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, departure definitely takes some warming up to. Yeah,
I would agree. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll go on my number 10. So I have some mixed feelings about Naruto and Naruto Shippuden, but one of the things I remember just really complimenting the nature, the spice, the style of Naruto, which is this battle ninja series, is the music, which really uses a lot of elements that make it clear what is going on, like the intensity of the moment and all that kind of stuff. And the track that I have the most kind of, I guess, goosebump inducing memory of is a track called Anger from Naruto Shippuden. It is absolutely phenomenal. I will share it with you guys, and hopefully you'll share my opinion. All right, here we go. Anger. All right. Well, so that was Anger. I think what really strikes me about this scene is, you know, if you watch Naruto, you know when this is going to start playing. It's going to start playing when Naruto has lost control and given into the Kyuubi. Like, you know what this music is, and that's what makes it so special. At least it's an after effect of that special nature of the soundtrack. Like, each soundtrack, although they have similar instruments and like, just like, you know, the flute in the background, depending on how they're going, how fast, like if the flute is going crazy and doing all those voice cracks or something like that, you know what's happening. You know approximately who it is, and they're instantly recognizable, which I think is really important for a soundtrack, especially if there's themes of certain characters or those characters in certain moments, which this one kind of is. But also, like when I hear the soundtrack, I think of Kyuubi mode Naruto pummeling pain. That's what I think of, right? It is an unbelievable soundtrack for, I think, how well it complements the scenes that it's in, which is this shinobi fight that is going on. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a lot of the rest of Naruto's soundtrack is like that. Like, especially Sasuke's theme, like especially in Shippuden, Sasuke's theme, and just very similar elements, as I mentioned, but consistent with it, and it owns that consistency really well.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Anger is, I would say it's also one of my favorites out of the Naruto soundtrack. It really gives you exactly that visceral feeling of what's going on, right? Naruto just completely losing control and giving into, you know, the power of the Kyuubi or the Ninetales. And so my number 9 spot is, it is Naruto. So I won't spend too much time, I guess, ranting about it because you just talked about it. But one thing I will say is how the Naruto soundtrack really uses, like, it sort of blends like traditional, you know, Japanese sounds and instruments with more, I guess, like almost rock elements, which I find cool. Yeah.
What I think is really cool, and I don't know if I'm like confused or mixing it up with something else, but they had a lot of shamisen players come in and do inserts into the soundtrack. And especially in some scenes, like another soundtrack I was considering actually showing, but I didn't, which is like, for example, I don't know the exact name of the track, but the track that plays when in Shippuden, Naruto gains his Biju mode, so the evolution of the Kyuubi mode, the shamisen is going crazy. If
those So the name of that track is My Name, and that's actually the sample track I'm using. So
let's hear it.
Yeah. Okay.
Perfect.
Yeah.
I love that track so much. I have so many good memories of that moment.
Yeah.
Among my top 10 Naruto moments, that is no doubt.
Yeah, so as you will see, definitely. But yeah, so as you will see, like power-up moments are definitely, are really a place where the soundtracks of anime shine, definitely.
Yeah, it's because like your emotions, because the power-up isn't really justified, especially when it's new and it hasn't been activated before, are only really justified when there's like a lot of emotion, and music works best in those kinds of moments.
Exactly.
Kind of shown in
that. All right.
Curious how autocomplete works or why you see the ads you do? Visit YouTube to learn more about search.
Your height. That is unique.
Indeed.
This is your height. And the comment there, when you discover a boss.
So iconic, yeah. So that should give you a good sense. I think it was when you have like one HP left and you discover the boss. Indeed, yeah. All right, so I think I'll just wrap up my talk Naruto there, since you already talked about it. And
It's great. It's simple, but it's great. Yeah, and I appreciate what it does for that. All right, so now I go on to serious Depresso Espresso, but that's what make track soundtrack good. Music, not completely Depresso Espresso. In fact, it's pretty, not upbeat, but uplifting, I will say. I thought that one of the greatest parts of Evangelion, obviously it is an incredible series in the way that it delivers certain very subtle subtleties that you have to watch the series 5 times in order to understand. And I think, I'm not denying that, even though it's not a series in terms of enjoyment for everyone, it is definitely a series that has a lot of nuances. And the music really does add to that. Like, it just adds to the eeriness, because you have sound, like you have tracks, like the one that I'm about to play, which is called Decisive Battle, which just like, it's an incredible track, but it's not the depression that embodies Evangelion for me. I'll just play it for you guys and make sure you guys can have your kind of own judgment on that, because I remember like going back through the soundtrack a few years ago after we had watched Evangelion together, and just being like, wait, is this really what I was hearing when I was watching this anime? And it's kind of a weird juxtaposition to Naruto, where I'm like, I could associate the scenes directly, but in this case, no way am I associating those scenes. This is just like happening when Shinji is going berserk, or I don't know, Asuka is getting her eye pierced out or something. So yeah, so I mean, this is Shiro Sagisu, or Sagisu Shiro, who is a legendary composer. He has done so much incredible stuff. And I really, really appreciate his work. In fact, he will show up once more on this list. That is for sure. I don't know if that spoiled something.
Indeed. And he shows up on mine. So
Yeah. I mean, it's just, I think that, he is very skilled when it comes to composing, like almost like traditional, orchestral tracks, but adding this really kind of personalized twist to it, where it's not like something like Joe Hisaishi, which is still really good. I mean, Joe Hisaishi being the composer that does a lot of the tracks for Ghibli movies, which are on their own, probably if you're talking it from a, like a, from a critical lens, like I don't know if I mentioned at the beginning, but I'm completely unversed with music theory. But Joe Hisaishi would probably go among the top three anime composers if we were talking purely about like just like the refined nature of the music and the choices. But again, this is emotional resonance. That is the criterion for this list, at least for me. And Sagisu does it so well with Evangelion because it's so unsettling. Like, this is such a proud kind of like confident, like it emanates confidence, this track. But the kids and the characters are anything but confident. And like, it's like imagine this song is like a really upbeat trumpet theme to a march. And the march is just like becoming a stampede where people are falling over each other and like just not succeeding. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, Evangelion does that really well, I will say. Mm-hmm. All right.
Yes. All right. So there's a sort of contrast. Yeah. And I feel like that soundtrack actually does, I feel like it actually is pretty fitting for the sort of mental state that Shinji and the others are in.
Yeah, because it's like you know, you're getting pushed along this stream that you don't really want to be in.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. Mm-hmm. But yeah, all right so my number eight now, it is the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure soundtrack, and
damn!
I guess more specifically
it's Park my number Kuni. Eight too.
Oh, all right. But yeah, I guess I'm focusing here on part three specifically, even though I mean part three. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
because I have another part that I focus on more, I would say. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
all right. So but yeah, part three, I would say there the quality of the soundtrack is pretty consistent throughout each part. But I feel like part three just hits these like really notable highs. And I think that's really noticeable with my sample track, Noble Pope, which sort of exemplifies like just how good part three as a whole, the part three soundtrack is as a whole, because like every part has this really good, like really catchy soundtrack for the JoJo or the protagonist.
But and part the bros. Has,
and
JoJo. And the JoJo, yeah, it's crazy, yeah.
Yo bros, yeah. But yeah, part three just is able to like have this amazing soundtrack for JoBro and Kakyoin. So, all right, so I'll share my screen and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, JoJo's has some incredible stuff and Yugo Kano is an amazing composer too. Yeah.
All right.
He's great. Let's hear it.
As you can see, it's really building.
And the progressive.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, so that was Noble Pope, which is pretty much Kakyoin's theme in part three, which who is one of the JoBros, the main allies to Jotaro, the JoJo or protagonist of that part. Sorry, I was having some issues there, but and it is called Noble Pope, which is reflective of Kakyoin's San being Hierophant's green. A Hierophant, I believe, being a type of priest that
some kind of clergy person, yeah.
Exactly, some kind of clergy. But anyway, yeah, I think it Noble Pope, but actually, it does come out. It is used a fair amount of times throughout the part for other characters as well, like notably Polnareff, which makes sense as Polnareff's actual theme is It's kind of
Yeah, it's so wacky. Yeah, it's kind of like a Beach Boys song.
Yeah, exactly. It's like this, like it's like this surfer music.
I don't know, man. He has a great theme, and yeah. I mean, most of them have actually pretty good themes in part three. And what I want to emphasize is there's actually a transition. I researched this. Yugo Kano, who I mentioned briefly before we played that track just now, is actually the composer that took over the responsibility for making the JoJo part soundtracks after part two. So part three was his debut, and he completely knocked it out of the park. He's incredible. I think like what was really cool is that recently when part six got announced and like there was this opening ceremony at some kind of Netflix event, if I'm not mistaken, he was there and like just played it live as a DJ, and it was enough to be an entertaining concert. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I really enjoy all of those part three, four, and five soundtrack tracks. But I have to say, I think it does peak in the most recent part that I've watched, which is part five. I have read part six, but I haven't watched any of the anime so far. But part five has some incredible tracks. And obviously, you know, a lot of the tracks that are really good are unfortunately, or fortunately, however you see it, overshadowed by another really good track that isn't that good that it basically should overshadow all the other tracks. But yeah, Golden Wind's theme, Giorno's theme, basically is what everybody associates with modern JoJo soundtracks, which I think is a shame, because this track that I'm about to play right now is among my favorites of all time. Because like there are very few tracks that create this sense of tension right from the get-go like this one. It's pretty insane here. So this one's called Incursione from part five. It is very good. Yeah, so I mean, obviously that is more of an ambient track, meaning it's not really meant to take center stage in any really impactful moment. It's supposed to kind of cruise through, I guess, a more extended period of time in the like a B-roll almost, which is not the same thing. That was a stupid illusion, but I think just that is an example that really is sort of like a sample of what JoJo's soundtracks and the tracks within them offer, which is, you know, they can deliver on specific really important moments. Like, I don't know, you know, Joseph trying to call out to Jotaro to tell him the abilities of the world. Or, you know, in this situation where it's just like, you can just see like Aerosmith, like flying through the gutters of Venice or something like that. I swear, like I can, when I hear this track, it's like, I don't know. I know Narancia's sneaking around trying to kill some shark thing. And that's completely mixed up, but yeah. It really does achieve that. And I think it's also a very clean composition. There are a few artists throughout the kind of modern soundtrack landscape in anime that really are good at blending classical and like techno elements. Yugo Kano is definitely one of them. I think he's amazing for that, especially, and how well that fits JoJo's, because JoJo's really is a culmination of like this kind of almost really kind of like old fashioned noble behavior of the characters, but then just the wacky weirdness that that you can't help but being reminded of the future from, like, you know, what you imagine of like what people will be wearing 50 years. Yeah. All right, that's my number eight, and that's your number eight too. So why don't we go to your number seven, Ben?
Yeah, all right, so my number seven is the Cowboy Bebop soundtrack. Yeah, so this isn't the first, this won't be the only.
I'm sure it won't be.
Yes, the only Shinichiro Watanabe anime on my list. But so this soundtrack is, Watanabe's series are very much defined by the music that's in them, and Cowboy Bebop is very much brought to life in that sense by its jazz soundtrack, and which is even inherent in the name of bebop being a style of jazz. So my sample track will be Rush, which actually plays in sort of like the more action-packed moments of the series, and so hopefully that
should
give you a good sense of what pop's all about. All right, so there it is. Sorry, advertisement. Oh, sorry. It said the screen sharing ended, so I'll try to.
Oh shoot! Sorry about that. Yeah. No problem. I don't know if I did that. All right, but like, yeah. So Rush is great. Rush is amazing. I was actually going to play it later on the list.
So that's Rush, and it just goes to show how like jazz isn't like really a genre I think most people would associate with like action, which makes sense. But I feel like this is a queer application of jazz in this like sort of like, you know, like how do I say it? Like this sort of like almost always moving, or like this like you know what I mean? Like this like sort of like it's a bit hard to put into words, but essentially it really fits this sort of like fast moving, fast flowing, the fast flowing fight scenes of bebop very well. And which is to be expected with a name like Rush. But yeah, and a lot of the Cowboy Bebop soundtrack is actually more mellow, which I think captures that aspect of the series very well. But I feel like that, but Rush in particular just like is a great way to like, you know, just show what bebop's all about, really. But yeah.
And I mean, okay, this is gonna sound like a really wacky comment because I love bebop. It also shows up later on my list. I really love the soundtrack, especially because of how, you know, jazz is so versatile in its paces. Like there's, I think, very other little genres, and again, I'm no musical expert, but as far as I know, there are very little other genres that can still maintain that same instantly recognizable genre kind of style. With completely different like paces. Like this one is really fast, but there are some other themes that are like super slow, and jazz is also known for slow jazz, but jazz is all over the place, but it's still jazz.
It's definitely a much more diverse genre than people give it credit for sure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, so I'll move on to my number 7, which is none other than the Code Geass soundtrack. Code Geass is crazy with its music. It is unbelievable how many times I have just turned on a Code Geass soundtrack, even if it is the soundtrack called All Hail Britannia, or the OST called All Hail Britannia, which I am not going to play right now, but it is amazing too. It's basically like a national propaganda anthem that they made into a soundtrack, which is epic. So I am not going to be playing that, but I am going to be playing a certain other soundtrack that I think everybody should kind of identify Code Geass, or be able to identify Code Geass by if they have any experience seeing it. I personally think it's the best Code Geass has to offer, but there are some other ones like Nightmare as well that I really enjoy. But for now, this is Previous Notice.
Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, Previous Notice for me is amazing because of those trumpets, which actually is very apparent in another soundtrack, or very kind of commonly used in another soundtrack that I previously mentioned, which was Evangelion's. But in this case, just like, you know, it just starts right off the bat, like you're hit, and you're like, ugh! Like, that could be a good alarm noise, for frick's sake. And that's exactly what it is. It's like Previous Notice. Oh, shoot. Like, you know, like, it's no Previous Notice. There's no Previous Notice here. No, none at all. You know? And it's like, I swear, I can see the nightmare frames just getting ejected from whatever kind of weird vehicles they're riding. Like, you know, I know stuff's about to go down when this track plays. And I think just the sort of like grandeur that this track just hits you with straight away really shows what Lelouch is. And to a certain extent, obviously not completely, because there are some other good characters, but Code Geass is very much about its protagonist more than a lot of other parts of the story. And this completely embodies that kind of like the spirit of rebellion, the spirit of like revolutionizing things and using a power that you never thought you could have to basically bring out everything that you can, all your potential. And it's just like, it's powerful. It's like I said, that opening just punches you straight in the face. And I think a lot of Code Geass's soundtrack does that. And it also just really conveys the kind of badassery of Lelouch a lot of the times, with that kind of rumbling guitar and stuff like that. I don't know. It's great. I love it. It's definitely not the best of the best, but it certainly does complement its visuals and plot very, very well in the anime.
For sure. Yeah, definitely matches the dramatism of Geass indeed. All right. So for my number six, my number six is the Dragon Ball Z soundtrack. And specifically, so I'll actually be talking about the American soundtrack, which is interesting because Dragon Ball Z, you know, it aired in the US at a time where, like, you know, anime was sort of localized to, you know, best suit like American tastes, which is, you know, something I have we
decided. Our Antark itself is the antagonist. It is, though.
In a way, yeah. But yeah. Yeah, it's just this, yeah, this very epic, like, uplifting theme. Like, when you hear that, you know, like, I mean, you know, it's going down, basically, right? Like, these guys are giving it their all against these, like, you know, these humanoid creatures that are overpowered. But yeah, Hunter x Hunter is just an amazing amazing series and amazing soundtrack overall, which is it's a very varied soundtrack, but I just chose Legend of the Martial Artist because I feel like it really captures like the high of the uplifting moments, so, and the inspiring moments of the series.
Well, yeah, you know a soundtrack is good when even this clearly more ambient track that's not really meant to kind of capitalize on any really important moments, but rather kind of roll in the background while something is, I guess, quote unquote, more important is happening than the music or like the emotional high or whatever. Like, this could even be used when someone's explaining something. Like, it probably is when they're like planning out their invasion of the castle or something like that, you know, in the actual anime itself, in the 2011 anime. And that's when you know something is special, when even then it can make you want to listen to this track outside of like watching the anime, which is pretty incredible. Yeah, I'm gonna revisit it, so I'm not gonna talk too much about Hunter x Hunter right now, but just know that it is very good. All right, in any case, here I go. Unfortunately, I'm like 99% sure that my top three are just repeats of things that Ben has already mentioned, or that he will mention. I know one of them he probably will mention that I will also mention. But my number three spot is Death Note. So as I mentioned, when Ben actually listed it as one of his spots, like lower on his list, I think Death Note is incredible in its use of two very different styles within its soundtrack. One being the very epic, almost church-like, choir-like, gospel-like kind of, you know, doom apocalyptic, you know, orchestra. Sorry, that was a lot of descriptors right there. But the other one that I really appreciate, the other side of that coin, is the kind of rumbling guitar, almost like this kind of like in the depressed kind of dark, gloomy air that a lot of the tracks give off. And I'm not entirely sure if he himself is responsible for it, but Hino Yoshihisa, who is also responsible for the Hunter x Hunter soundtrack that we just talked about, was heavily involved with the composition of Hunter x Hunter's or Death Note soundtrack as well. He did work with a man named Taniuchi Hideki, who might have been responsible for these kind of more mellow non-orchestral tracks. So just know that both of those are responsible, and that I think both sides of this kind of yin and yang soundtrack are really, really good and offer completely different things. Let's play this track, which I think is among one of the best of the more ambient kind of rockier soundtrack in Death Note. But honestly, you could just play this soundtrack like just in the background. It's so good. This one's called El no Nakama. El's Companions, as it's known in English. Damn. See, it was literally hard for me to stop playing this track just now. That's how good I find it.
That's like, a struggle for me too, for a lot of these, but yeah.
Yeah, wait, one more time? Say that one more time?
No, I was just saying that it's a struggle for me too, for like a lot of these, but
yeah. Yeah. It's just like, it's oh my gosh. Like, I love the ambience of it. It just, it's those moments where these are still young, they're high school age kids, and at least in the first kind of season, which is most well known. I still haven't watched the second season, which I am so ashamed of. Even though it's such a bad rep, I still need to experience it. In any case, Death Note is incredible as a story. This really encapsulates, I think, the maniac that is the protagonist, Light Yagami, and the fact that he has his perspective upon himself while he is living in a reality that doesn't line up with that perspective at all. It does to a certain extent, but just enough that it deceives him into thinking that he is God, when really he is an immature sociopath given a power that allows him to destroy things more than he ever should be able to. And I think, you know, this kind of duality, you know, first with the track that Ben mentioned and the like, but then also with this track, you know, this is down to earth. I think when I think of this track, I think of the moments when Light is a normal boy, when he's erased his memories, spoilers there, and is kind of in the process of building up towards his all according to plan scene, you know? That's what it is. I think of those moments where L is almost like a normal boy, like a normal shonen protagonist almost. And where he's finally down to earth, where he doesn't think of himself as God. And it also really gives this special vibe, this kind of like, we're waiting around for the next catastrophe. We're waiting around for the next orchestral doom soundtrack to come on.
They come before the storm, essentially. I mean, yeah, said, I definitely focus on the more, you know, dramatic parts of the soundtrack in my, you know, in my analysis, I definitely appreciate the more like down tempo, more chill moments, which I think are very reflected well in the soundtrack. And I do definitely appreciate those moments as well. I think another like track that I think encapsulates that like aspect of the series really well is called Taikutsu, which means boredom. I'm not sure if it was actually used in the original anime itself, but I think it was used in like maybe I think one of the OVAs. But I think it actually is one of the best soundtracks in the series.
Yeah, I mean, I could name so many. Like it's crazy. Yeah. This is like an album unto itself, basically, that you could listen to outside of just like enjoying the series. Although that is what we're talking about in this context, it's that good. It's pretty crazy. Yeah.
Definitely, yeah. All right. So for my number two spot, it's Bleach. So yeah. So I feel like Bleach in general is, the soundtrack is definitely one of the best out of like any anime, which is, you know, reflective of its place on my list. But it's also very evident of the fact, I think, that Bleach is a series that almost like Watanabe's series, it is very much defined by its style, which is, you know, which you know, its fashion and its, you know, it's
Kubo,
and its aesthetics and whatnot. And
Kubo, a drip artist.
A drip artist indeed, yeah. Yeah, it's very much defined by its sound, its aesthetics, and which is why I think like the soundtrack in particular just like complements it really well. But I'm actually focusing on the you know, again, like the more dramatic, more epic parts of the soundtrack. So the sample track I've chosen is Invasion. So which is a very epic track.
Dun, dun, dun. Let's do it.
Yeah. All right.
Amazing soundtrack. I'm not saying anything because it shows up.
Hey, guess what? I think we found it. That's the one.
Advertisement. Once again, please thank us.
When you need that house, write this up. Get pre-approved for a mortgage in as little as 3 minutes.
I am trying
for everything we want. We're all better off with an ally.
Aimless confused, damn. Damn.
You can see that is a soundtrack that I do as well, which I think perfectly complements it. And it's just like you get this feeling that like everything sort of like, you know, like watching the martial artist, like but even more so, like everything is sort of going down, like stuff is happening, and it's just like the high is like the climax of the series, really. And I think it encapsulates that really well. And I really hope that I think it would be amazing if this gets used in the new season of the anime of the Thousand Year Blood War arc.
Well, I'm especially excited to see if we end up getting any kind of new additions to the soundtrack, actually, from Sagisu. I mean, they better let him. Because, I mean, he's still very active. I think, you know, he was also responsible for Ava, and he also did the Rebuild movie soundtracks, which only recently ended. So I'm sure he's not, like, out of commission or something, and maybe he has enough of a break.
Yeah.
Who knows? Maybe he was completely overwhelmed while the Ava soundtrack was in production because he was maybe, I don't know, working on Ava and the Bleach as it was winding up in those 2 years where we heard nothing, basically. But damn, I mean, it's so amazing. And I'm talking about it later. But, you know, and I guess I may as well, like, stop trying to not spoil things. My number two is Hunter x Hunter. Because Hunter x Hunter's soundtrack is unbelievable. As I mentioned, the variety of stuff that is in here. And this is, I think I also mentioned this, but Hinano Yashihisa's work. He is also partially responsible for the Death Note soundtrack, namely the more orchestral kind of half of it. And man, he delivers here, not just on the kind of epic, almost doom style, kind of really dark and dooming sort of tone that a lot of the Death Note soundtracks that he, I think, if I'm not mistaken, again, I'm not completely sure, but that he contributed. But I think in Hunter x Hunter, as I was kind of winding up to, he does also display his ability to, you know, compose some very bright tracks. But actually, I'm also here to talk about the darker tracks, because I think one of the things that Yasuhisa Hirano does well is he utilizes the adventurous feeling of Hunter x Hunter to express, I think, a lot more of those kind of frolicking, kind of playful orchestral melodies like Boys Be Courageous or something like, you know, I guess Go Gone Go, I think that's what it was, or Go Gone, I think was the name of that track as well. Like, you know, this more rocky kind of upbeat, very typically shonen tracks with a more orchestral touch, but then he also goes completely berserk. That sounds weird to say that in that way in this video, but he goes completely crazy when it comes to okay, I'm just gonna go ahead. I don't know why I'm holding back, but Gon's transformation scene. it was already an amazing soundtrack. There were already so many moments that captivated me, and where I just realized that how there are so many tracks in the soundtrack that basically there is a specific track for almost every single unique moment in the series. Obviously, some tracks get reused, but for every kind of moment, like a Nen charge up or an explanation, there is a certain track. And, you know, for good reason, there are three individual albums or compilations that came out to cover the soundtrack for all of Hunter x Hunter, which it's a long series, but, you know, 160 episodes is not the longest it gets when you're talking about anime, which is pretty crazy. But the track that I'm about to play is, oh my God, one of my favorites, and also one of the ones that I play just to see if I get goosebumps again. And every time I do, and I just sit there with my mouth agape every single time because it's that good. I know that sounds stupid, but this is Kage's theme. Just listen to this gloriousness. Yeah, I mean, it is unbelievable what Hunter x Hunter can make you feel with its soundtrack. I mean, it's just, I think I never cease to be amazed by that scene especially. I think the kind of weird relationship I have with this soundtrack is that I identify very, very much by that particular track that I just played. But at the same time, everything is almost perfect about it. In fact, the only thing that separates this placement from my number one is just the sheer feeling I have and how my number one soundtrack's aptitude is a lot better for its soundtrack, even though Hunter x Hunter's soundtrack goes very well with this anime as well. It's just that little bit better, my number one. And I guess now you guys know what it is. But Ben, go ahead with your number one. I think I know what it is.
All right.
I think, in quotes, I know what it is.
All right, so my number one is Samurai Champloo.
Oh, wait, what? That's a surprise.
So you were expecting it. What were you expecting out of curiosity?
No. I was being sarcastic. Sorry, that was stupid.
As you guys, you know, well, you probably know it now. Samurai Champloo is honestly one of my all-time favorite animes. And a big part of that is definitely the soundtrack. Like, I feel like Samurai Champloo's soundtrack, which is, you know, like sort of like down tempo hip hop mostly, and I feel like it's like a soundtrack that I can just, you know, that I actually just listen to on the regular. You know, I just like listen to it so often, and it never ceases to amaze me. And you know, and I feel like it's like really the only anime soundtrack I know of that actually had a total of four artists working on it: Nujabes, Fat John, Force of Nature, and Tsuchi, which is of course surprising.
Did Uyama not work on that? Sorry to interrupt you, but Uyama Hiroto did not work on the Samurai Champloo.
No, he did not. But yeah, and of course, which is surprising, as it is a relatively short series at only 26 episodes. So to have that many artists working on it is definitely unique. But the sample track I'll be using is one of Nujabes' works on the soundtrack. It's called Silver Morning. So you can find that on the Impressions album of the soundtrack.
Rest in peace, my man, Jun Seiba.
He was a musical genius, and I would actually say he is my favorite artist overall, yeah.
He's unbelievable.
Personalized service reviews that swap the car talk for straight talk. That's a challenge for Jiffy.
All right, let's go to the glorious
double one. Ad again.
Now it's Oreo. No, it's Hershey. Damn, I'm getting my American ad fix here.
Thank you. skip ahead of it here. Let me get to the highs. All right. So that was, yeah. Yeah, so that's Silver Morning, which I think is, if I had to, I mean, there's just so many, like, tracks from this soundtrack that I just adore and love so much, but I feel like if someone came up to me and, you know, just made me pick one, I honestly feel like that would be the one, Silver Morning, just, like,
yeah,
this, it's just, like, I feel like it's able to encapsulate so many, like, you know, like, so many emotions within it. It's just, like, that, but I feel like primarily, it like speaks to like this, you know, this like sense of like, you know, as like, you know, as the name goes, like this, you know, this very morning-esque soundtrack, which.
Yeah, it is. That's what I was going to say.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, I have not watched Samurai Champloo, which is why I didn't include it on this list. But because of Ben, I'm so glad that he did. I've listened to a lot of Nujabes. I haven't gone through every single one of his discographies. I have gone through every single one of his albums. And again, I guess Nujabes is not the only artist on the team that composed the Samurai Champloo OSTs, but he is certainly, in my opinion, the most notable in the sense that he also has like he's a legend. I mean, he created so much music where you think to yourself, how am I feeling so much right now? How am I feeling like this feeling that almost makes me want to, like, you know, like want tears to come out of my eyes? Like, it's not even sad. It's just like, it's just a certain feeling that is unmatched in just how deep and how developed it is. It's just, it's crazy. And that's just one example. I really need to get to listening to more of Nujadabes's EPs. And I also want to explore more of Fat John's music and obviously Force of Nature, because they made some really good tracks on this one as well. Again, like I said, I know about a lot of these tracks, but I haven't watched the anime, so I don't feel credible enough to put it on, which is reasonable in my opinion. But Forces of Nature's Just Forget is also an amazing track, which we actually used for our first season opening, quote unquote.
Yeah.
So great. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, all right. I mean, yeah, this, but yeah, I mean, the Samurai Champloo soundtrack as a whole is definitely something special. And I think it really is what makes the series, you know, what it is, this hip hop samurai anime that, like,
and it's, you know, Watanabe, it shows Watanabe's willingness, you know, in order to create what he wants to create, he needs to invest in music, even if it's a 26 episode series. You know, it's like he needs to have four artists on there if he needs to, you know, like he needs to do what he got to do.
Yeah.
Watanabe just did that. I have to go on Watanabe spree where I watch Champloo finally, and then I also want to watch Space Dandy, which I have heard is also.
That is on my list.
I mean, just because, like, first of all, I've seen some breathtaking sakuga on there. Second of all, I've heard some people say that Watanabe basically refines everything that makes him Watanabe as a filmmaker in that particular anime. And second of all, because I'm curious to see how he's able to weave in the disco theme into the soundtrack, but we'll see about that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Finally, my number one is Bleach. There, I didn't even wind it up because it is so freaking good, it doesn't even need a wind up. What fascinates me about Bleach is that it's even able to beat out things like Hunter x Hunter and Death Note, which, you know, are very, very hard to beat. Like, I contemplated this so much, and I'm like, would I feel confident putting Death Note at my number one? Would I feel confident putting Hunter x Hunter at my number one? And every time I eventually came to the answer, no, although they are incredible and they mean so much to me, Bleach's resonance with its theme and its aesthetic and its feeling, I can't even call it tone because that sounds way too academic. It's just the feeling that it gives you is so, so immense, especially because some of these tracks do not feel like they should be on a shonen anime OST compilation. They just shouldn't. A lot of them feel very similar to things like the Baylet soundtrack that were forces that you might hear on a very kind of famous seinen soundtrack, like the one from Berserk 1997. And it just shows you how, no matter what kind of content you're creating, the music can add so much depth to it. And I think one of the most amazing parts of the soundtrack is just those moments where Shiro Sagisu, who is responsible for the soundtrack as well, just allows himself to use the weirdest sounds possible. Like on, I think one of the tracks that I was going to try to play, but I ended up not, Creeping Shadows, for example, is a very good example of like a weird sound that does exactly what it needs to do. And it just encapsulates the diversity and the colorfulness that is Bleach. But the one that I want to play today is really, really one that I think is genuinely beautiful, which is called Nothing Can Be Explained. Trying to get to the audio. I mean, Bleach has so many examples, and it's so hard to use one example as a kind of broader representative for every one of them, because that's what makes it so special. There are so many completely different sounding tracks in Bleach, not to mention, you know, the tracks that are getting remixes after remixes from, I don't know, some kind of, you know, thousands of hip hop remix artists on the internet, being the kind of Espada themed soundtracks, which are also fantastic. But it's just, there's so much to debunk, to kind of pick apart, right? There's also things like Aizen Against Everyone, Alone Against Everyone, which is one of the most epic tracks ever. There are things like, you know, Ignition, Battle Ignition, or the one that they actually used that really got me so hyped for Bleach as an anime in April of 2020 when they announced that it was coming back, which was Hollowed.
Hollowed, yeah.
Amazing soundtrack, amazing, amazing OSTs. They all have this very unique feel to them. And what's incredible, none of them feel the same. Maybe a few of the more Soul Reaper themed soundtracks that you hear in the Soul Society feel a bit similar, but otherwise, they have such a depth and feeling to them. But they also are each so unique with each of their weird, wacky sounds that they use, but it gets the job done. It's like, it's really what I think is so great about it is that you never get bored of it. You can listen to it no matter where you are, like what kind of mood you're in. There's always some kind of track that fits that mood, which I think is incredible because, you know, Bleach being a long-running shonen series, it's perfect. It's perfect. And it definitely is used to its fullest.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think there's just so much variety in the Bleach soundtrack. Like, it's just, you have so many tracks that are able to capture, like, you know, a variety of emotions from, like, you know, like the epic highs of Invasion, which is my sample track, and, you know, the sort of, like, you know, like desperate, like mellow, like themes Nothing Can Be Explained. Yeah. But and yeah, it's just like, you know, there's just so many that just, like, you know, that you can just, yeah, just listen to you on them, right? You are kind of like the Samurai Champloo soundtrack. And yeah, so it is definitely my second favorite, well, right after Champloo, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. This was a really nice video to make, I have to say. I appreciate it. Yeah. I know it's probably going to be quite a long recording, but I think it's warranted considering that we also wanted to give some sample tracks, which I think adds a bit of richness to the video and breaks up the conversation a bit. But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed it. And I mean, I'm really excited to kick off season 3 of Manga Kaiwa with this episode. Thank you so much for listening, even if you just did for a few minutes or the whole thing. Thank you, thank you, thank you. These are really special things to us, and it's so great to have a space to talk about them.
Yeah.
All right. Bye. See you, strugglers. Bye. Mata yoga